We're happy to be joined now by the White House correspondent for Breitbart News, Charlie Spearing. Charlie, known you for a while. Good to have you here on Mornings on the Mall.
Hey, what a pleasure, Vince. It's great to be here and great to see you in person behind the microphone.
Thank you very much.
It's scary,
love
though.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing thinking how far we've all come, but Vince has really done well for himself, and it's enjoyable to hear him fill in for a job that was once Larry O'Connor, another good friend of mine. So
yeah.
Congrats, Vince.
And Larry's going to be here today. Larry did a good job yesterday during CPAC.
Wow,
high
energy. That was great.
High energy.
He really brought the heat, and the media in the back was getting a little nervous. So I thought it was a great way to start the fake news media. And, it certainly ruffled a little few feathers in the back there.
And it was one of a couple times, actually, that the feathers in the back were ruffled, because Dana Lash did the same thing yesterday, going after the press on the stand. And going after the media for sort of the way they've been treating, especially this gun control debate. Interested always in sort of the Breitbart News perspective here. What is the perspective of CPAC as an event and its importance to conservative America?
Well, CPAC is always huge. You remember Andrew Breitbart came out to these, and this is where he really started making it a big impact, and when he came to Washington, D.C. and delivered some of these speeches.
Yeah.
And one of his last speeches, actually, was at CPAC right before he passed. So CPAC has always been really important to Breitbart. We love coming out here. We love meeting everyone here, all the activists, all the people that come out, and all the speakers. And here we are again. You know, I've been coming to these since around 2006. So
yes,
it's been a lot. And how the movement has changed, it's always remarkable.
Well, on the movement question, I noticed that, you know, in the years past, Breitbart has been a sponsor here and has played sort of a big role. This year, not as much. You don't see the sponsorships. You don't see the sort of the Breitbart involvement. Is there anything ideologically related to that, or is that just a financial decision?
Yeah, it's a financial decision. Last year, we really blew the budget, if you remember.
I know. I saw it.
We rented a ship on the river. We had a massive party and really blew everything out, because it was for us a huge celebration. We were the news outlet that, you know, covered the 2016 election. Got a lot of heat for the way we covered President Trump, so we really felt like it was a time for celebration. Look, now it's the midterms. Now it's not as energetic, and so yeah, this is just merely a financial decision. We have about 20 people here covering CPAC, so still very important, but no big party this year. Sorry, Vince.
Nowhere for Vince to hang
as
his
hat. As if I'd be invited.
As if you'd be staying up late now that you're your morning show host.
Yeah. You had said that the movement has changed. You know,
yes.
And that there used to be a lot of excitement. You know, there's not as much excitement right now because it's the midterms. Two questions. How has the movement changed, and why isn't there excitement for the midterms? Don't we need excitement for the midterms?
Yeah, definitely. But I think this was really supposed to be a celebration of what's been accomplished. When you're in power, you start celebrating what's been accomplished and looking forward to what more you can accomplish. I think this year it was a little different. We really started off with a somber tone with a conversation about gun rights. You know, it's under fire again. We had the 1-2 punch of Wayne LaPierre and Dana Lash. So, but I think when the president comes today, we'll be celebrating. He'll be celebrating his big tax cuts, and he'll talk about the midterms. He loves punching at liberals, so I'm sure we'll see a little bit of that. The audience will love that. So, and this is the closest thing he's going to get to a Trump rally, at least around Washington, D.C., right?
Is there?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Is there anything that, you know, I know, like, the president has a couple times signaled things throughout each debate that worry conservatives or make them a little nervous. And often in the end product is nowhere near as worrisome. But on immigration, signals about 1.8 million people for an amnesty.
Right.
On immigration, the idea that maybe even if he constricts chain migration, that it'll take about 17 years to clear the current backlog of chain migrants before it actually starts to pare it down. On guns, signaling support for increasing the age to, say, 21 to purchase some weapons. Each of these things, not the conservative position. These are sort of an open-minded approach. Does that worry Breitbart readers?
Oh, sure. And this is something we've had to deal with at Breitbart is his rhetoric. And he doesn't speak like a normal president would. You know, a normal president stays in his lane and follows and is very careful about what he says. But Trump, as we've discovered, he's always open to everything, right? You can ask him any question, and he's like, "Yeah, we'll think about that. We'll consider that." And then you find yourself writing the headlines But you still don't know exactly where he stands or what he's going to do. So when he engages in some of this rhetoric, yes, to please the left, to please the media, we write it up and call it straight. And obviously the immigration debate was something that we were very concerned about.
Was that the biggest thing that rattled you this year in terms of something that the president signaled that he's interested in doing?
Yeah, I think our readers were concerned about what he was saying and what he was doing, in fact. And he came out with legislation to give amnesty to the 1.8 million, and that was concerning, and I mean, that doesn't help at all for Republicans in the midterms. It happens every time, right? It's like they get elected, and one of the first things they start doing is immigration reform and amnesty. It's like, that's not what the people are screaming for. This is what the corporate people in Washington are screaming for. This is what the Democrats are screaming for. So focus on our agenda first. Focus on America first. Let's get this done.
One more on Breitbart specifically. Obviously, a lot of attention's been paid to the site because of Steve Bannon.
Right.
Bannon, gone. How has that affected the site and its coverage, and what has that been like for you as a journalist there?
Yeah, it was so funny during the campaign when I woke up one morning and got the New York Times news alert that Stephen K. Bannon had joined the Trump campaign,
yes,
to manage it, and it was like, what a shock. It was like, we learned the same as everybody else, obviously. They didn't send us out any special notifications.
No previews.
Yeah, so we've been without Bannon since he joined in August, joined the campaign, and then he went on to the White House. So in many ways, the site operated just fine without him, and we got along really well. You know, our editor-in-chief, Alex Marlowe, he's very, very keen with the news, very good on coverage, good at calling out the narratives and calling out the media. So when he left the White House and came back to Breitbart, he slipped right back in, but he wasn't fully engaged. Like, he had a lot on his plate, and
yes,
he was politically involved in a lot of different political movements. And so I think he's going to continue that, and I think he made the right decision.
All right. That's the voice.
So, yeah, now we're now it's like he never – it's now like when he joined the White House. It's a very similar
– yeah,
very similar tone.
Back in the same motions. Charlie Spearing, thank you. Charlie Spearing, the White House correspondent for Breitbart News. Really appreciate you stopping by. I know
you'll
be busy today,
CPAC.